Ah, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Welcome in, War Chant Happy Hour. We are at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. It is great to be with you. Happy Libations Friday, everybody.
Need all these we can
Cheers,
get.
Cheers,
Need
partner.
All these we can
hey,
get.
Hey, man, it's time to celebrate. This is the day before the first win of the year.
The first dub.
It's We're going down, buddy.
Get your, what's going
what's
on?
I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry.
Holy moly. What a start to the show.
The chat. I'm trying to do the right thing here.
So, this time tomorrow, Florida State will be up, 17-6 at half, probably?
Getting into half, they're up 17-6. That's a made field goal. A made field goal. I don't know that we want to go out on that limb.
A touchdown and a two-point conversion.
Or
a safety. But, he makes field goals, man. He's two of his last three field goals. Just saying. Yeah. Trying to find positives.
Prolific.
Yeah.
Well, I think, by the way, that your score is a good one, and I'm going to take 14-6 at half.
14-6 at half. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So holding them to two field goals or a touchdown, and they miss the extra point?
Two field goals.
Okay. All right. They're going to bow up.
Little bend, don't break.
Yeah, they're going to bow up in the red zone.
Little red zone defense, little bend, don't break.
It would be something to see this team get up by, multiple scores.
Oh, a score?
A score.
Well,
they were up at Jacksonville State at half and then kind of shut it down too early.
They were dominating that Jacksonville State and then for much of that game.
Shut it down a little too early at half. But other than that,
I'm gonna give you the good news.
Okay.
Florida State will not trail in this game.
Wow. All right. Okay.
Ooh, going out on
so him. A comfortable. You feel like a comfortable win coming on or
27-24.
Okay.
All right. That's what I said, I think. No, I don't. Listen, every game that Florida State plays, even the winnable ones, are an uphill battle because
aren't they all winnable though, except for a couple? You got eight games left, six of them are winnable.
Yeah,
doesn't mean they're gonna win them, but they are winnable.
Well, Miami may shut it down after last night.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing to see right there. Suck it, Canes. So, I mean, you get a
he almost hit the upright so hard it bounced back to him.
It was a violent hitting of the upright,
yeah, it almost came back to him. And can you catch that and run with
it? Real question, no, real quick question. Why did Virginia celebrate like they had accomplished something of great significance?
Well, look, man, you win on a last-second missed kick.
But they stormed the field like they had just clinched a spot in the ACC championship game. I'm like, it's Miami, guys.
Probably did, though, right? Coastal.
Most people beat Miami.
That's what happens down there lately. Allowed to talk smack. We can own what we have to deal with.
Oh, we're awful. It doesn't change the fact that they lose a lot these days, too.
Yeah, they lose all the time.
You and I were talking about it off the air, about the fact that when we meet up later this year,
it's going to be the 30-year anniversary, the game of the century, the 91 game. The programs were in a little different shape back then than they are currently.
Things have taken a turn
for
the worse for these two programs, rich in history as they are. But who knows? Maybe
I'm telling you, I still believe it. I'm always going to believe it. Same thing with Nebraska. Florida State is going closer to a championship than Miami, Nebraska, because if you hire the right guy, and maybe this dude is it. We'll see. It was a nice speech he had on Monday, for real. It's not sarcastic. They have the thing. They have more things in place, more resources in place, where if they hire the right coach and load this roster up, they can win a championship.
I think we know that. We saw it
was 5 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. Miami was before HDTV.
Look, what I continue to talk about, at least as it pertains to this team, I know you like to quickly hearken to yesteryear.
Yeah, I know
these days. It happens every time. I count it down in my head.
Any chance I get.
So I do a lot of shows with this guy next to me. And whenever it happens that we're talking about this team, within minutes, he goes, you think back to 93.
Yeah,
that 99 team.
Yeah, Corey Simon.
2013.
Yeah.
You start thinking back. Yeah, it happens pretty quick. And I understand why that would be. But as for this team, I'm here for the climb. I'm all right, buddy.
Okay,
it starts tomorrow. Win number one's tomorrow. It's in the books.
What's crazy is that when 2012 to 14, well, to the middle of 2015 came, I felt like we all appreciated it more because we lived through,
oh yeah,
you know, 02 to 09. You're like, oh man, I'm going to really hang on to this. I'm going to grasp it. I'm going to embrace this and not assume that it's going to be like this for the rest of our lives. But yeah, we all kind of did.
Yeah.
But we did anyway. Like, we didn't learn our lesson from the last time the dynasty crumbled to then, you know what I mean? Like, I just thought it would never, who could have ever foreseen this? But that said, it was cool to be there from 09 or 07, if you want to call that Jimbo's first year, 07 to 13 when they reached the mountaintop. Yeah, it was cool to be there. It was cool to see the incremental growth. So,
hey, get happy. You're here now. You're watching it take place.
Man, we are a base camp. We're not at base camp. We're still at the bottom of the mountain
started towards the path. It's the first step.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Maybe. I got a lot of people that emailed me or tweeted at me about the me asking that question to Norvell and how that kickstarted the real climb. That kickstarted the future of the program.
Gave him an opportunity to do something that he probably wanted to do, but I also think that's who he is. I mean, people act surprised that he's that kind of impassioned about the struggles. Of course he is. He believes in himself. He believes in those kids. He believes in what they're doing, and they're not winning. It's frustrating, but he's nothing if not passionate. I wasn't surprised to see him get that kind of emotional or fired up.
And like we talked about on headlines, I think it was really good for the fans to see it. Not just, I mean, it was literally, you weren't in the room, but he stared at me the whole time he talked. And you know, if you ask a question that elicits that response, you can't look away. The people that follow me on War Chant or follow those press conferences, I'm usually typing out the answers. I'm trying to transcribe the answers. Well, I couldn't like look down and type. So I was just looking at him the whole time. And it was 5 minutes.
Do you have any other interactions afterwards?
No, but it was 5 minutes of uninterrupted eye contact. When's the last time?
I'm uncomfortable right now.
Yeah.
We're staring at each other 6 seconds. It's way too much.
It was 5 minutes. And it's like, man, I haven't stared at anyone this long. When Brady was born, I was like, after 45 seconds, I'm like, all right, I got it.
There he is. He's good. That's great. No, I have a question for you. Did you, because I never got the impression that he was angry.
I didn't until the end.
Did you get the impression he was angry?
No, I didn't. I thought maybe, but not at me. I think he was
just in general.
Yes, but he didn't start out being angry. He started out explaining what these recruits see because that was the question. And then it's like he kind of worked himself up a little more. But the whole time he's looking at me, like staring daggers at me, and I'm staring right back because it'd be weird if I looked away or.
Oh yeah, and you're not backing down, Corey.
Come on, man.
To nobody. Come
on. I was waiting for just one thing.
Yeah.
To get out of that chair.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't be doing this probably.
So I never.
But I don't think he was mad. No, I don't. I don't think he was mad at the question. I don't think he was mad. I think he's mad at the situation because it's got to be as frustrating as it is for us.
What he's mad is he's.
Well, I say that he's getting $3.5 million to. Have as many wins as we do.
Hey, let's say thank you to a few folks. Tom, I didn't bring my computer this week, so I'm a little behind here. I know we've got some guys that are kind enough to contribute.
That's why I'm back, boys. That's why I'm here.
What do we got?
Eric, big surprise.
Oh, Eric Angel always coming through, man.
Sweetheart of a man.
He says 24-3 at halftime, Knowles. So he's feeling it. I think he's probably around 5 or 6 today. And then Khalil says, I'm back, Corey.
Oh, good, man. I missed him. He hadn't been there the last couple of shows.
And he's got a question for both of you, which is most disappointing loss and satisfying win can't be Auburn or Clemson in the Jimbo Fisher era. So most disappointing loss and satisfying win.
Well, we got a couple candidates here. NC State was brutal. We talked about it for years. We only just now stopped talking about it.
No, it's still with us. Goes away. Also, the 2012 NC State game.
Virginia on senior night.
Ooh, that was a tough one.
That was a toughie.
That team at least had the excuse, and a good one, that the offensive line was completely banged up, and they could not block
Virginia
that team.
Virginia on senior night was a toughie, where he tried to tell
even
us
even though
that
he
purposely dropped passes.
Burt Reed, you know, you coach him well enough to know to drop
it's
a pass
still one
in that
of the
moment.
Greatest answers of all time.
Yeah.
Say that with a straight face.
We practice dropping passes.
We practice
dropping passes.
If we
know we can't get out of bounds, he's practiced to drop it. Yeah, well,
it was one of the greatest. I wonder if as the words left his mouth, he thought, what am I talking about?
Man, he had thought it up a few minutes
ago. Okay, so that, and then most satisfying win?
They can't beat Clemson.
Well, it was probably beating Florida with the Ponder game. I mean, that was really satisfying. To end the losing streak?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Their ass too.
I would say either of those, the rivalry games from 10, because going down to Miami when they were, I think they were top 10 or top 15. You had just gotten, I feel like you had just, maybe it was right after the Oklahoma game or close to the Oklahoma game. I feel like it was coming off a loss or close to a loss. And you went, I mean, they quit. Like Chris Thompson ran twice down the field on them because they had just completely quit.
Yeah, it was great.
Those were good ones. Yeah, those were good ones. I would say those
satisfying wins.
Very, very satisfying. All the ones from 14 were pretty satisfying.
With the way they kept coming back?
Well, and just the context of the national perception and everybody wanting Florida State to lose.
The ability to tweet repeatedly, not tonight, haters, with DiCaprio. Yeah. It was so good. It was so good. Yes.
Question from Kevin, who asks, if you could pick one player on offense and one player on defense from the 2013 team, not named Jameis.
I was going to say.
To put on this roster.
I was about to say, that's a pretty easy pick.
Who would you choose and why?
Ooh. Ooh. So there's a lot of ways you could go there. You could go offensive line and take Stork. That would be huge. Or Irving. You know, he's a first round pick.
Stork would be the answer to that.
I mean, right, but there, but you got Kelvin. I mean, Kelvin's a difference maker, man.
Kelvin didn't try real hard.
He did in 13. You're saying he wouldn't try real hard for the 2021 team?
That's correct.
What about Rashad then? All-timer,
Rashad
all-time
always
great?
Played hard.
I was gonna say there's a few choices on
Marcus Joyner on the other side wouldn't be a bad pick either.
What about Telvin though?
I love Telvin, but here's and we have terrible linebackers.
Yes,
but the back end of this group here is shaky.
Yeah, and Ramsey was just a freshman.
Jalen was a beast and would tell you about it. Maybe we need some of that.
That's almost an impossible question.
It really is.
I'm trying to think of who on this team would play on that team.
Jermaine would find a role.
Jermaine starts on that team. Because they weren't great at defensive end. Mario Edwards is very good, but the other one was just Christian Jones moving down.
Jermaine would play on that team.
Anybody else play on this team? Anybody from this team even play on that team? Like, not even start, but in the rotation? Maybe one of the running backs?
Maybe.
I mean, you had to move a safety to make your third stringer. Maybe
that's a tough one, man. Jermaine might be the only guy.
Hey, either way, it was a great year. It was a lot of fun to cover. I wish we should one of these shows. We should just act like we're previewing the 2013 Syracuse game.
Yeah, we talk about how ugly it's going to get.
There's a lot of noise outside right now with the Jameis thing, but I feel like he's going to play well.
Yeah, guys, let's concern ourselves with us. Let's not worry about all the outside
circle
noise.
Tight.
Yeah, try to win this one by 35.
Yeah, they're up. It was 35 points at half.
We have another contribution, I think.
We do. First of all, a comment from Kyla says, the nose looks great, man. Looks great.
Thank you.
I told him that when we came here. He's been so insecure for the past
week. Well, it was a mess. It was a bloody mess.
I think you might have been taken back when I kissed your nose. That
was weird.
But I mean,
it was a wet kiss too. I didn't expect that.
There's healing power in this slide.
I'm not sure how the CP felt about it.
Yeah, it was a little awkward.
Gabriel has contributed to the program, asks, "Do you think Norvell should consider using Chuba on third and short for that RPO? Maybe have him pull it once or twice."
Yeah, I do, and I also think they should consider, as we move forward here, if we're going to continue to see the sort of physical maladies that McKenzie Milton is
the limitations
with.
He has. Yeah.
There are some real physical. If that continues, I do think you kind of have to look at Chuba and get him out there. I'm not telling you it's going to work. I'm not saying it's going to change the dynamics because he hasn't impressed me, but he is at least healthy.
Yeah.
And the other two are not healthy.
So, and you think about, there was a play in the I think it was this last week. They all run together. All the three and outs run together. But I think it was this last week against Louisville where Milton was scrambling, would have gotten the first down, should have gotten the first down.
Yeah,
if he runs straight ahead.
He also has moments where he scrambles and just falls for
down.
No reason.
But he's running for what looks like a very important first down on third and seven.
Yeah.
And then when he gets to 5 yards from the first down marker, he cuts straight right to avoid contact, which he still got tackled from behind. But I get it. Like I know if I was him, I wouldn't want contact either. Your body's not close to 100%. But Chuba Purdy gets that first down. Chuba Purdy gets that first down and probably five or six more yards.
I also think
now he doesn't make that throw to Parchment, probably. No, but I mean the touchdown one, not the last one.
I do think, Corey, we're close to seeing some Chuba. I do think that's about to happen. He's getting more reps with the twos.
Yeah,
and I just think they're getting to a place where at some point, why not? I mean, you do have to find out if he can play.
Yeah, and I think initially you've got to win the games you can win. You've got to try to win the games.
And that's why you're running McKenzie out there this weekend, is because this is an imminently winnable game.
But buddy, if it's 13-10 at half and you've got you've got 10 points, you've scored one touchdown because that seems to be their rhythm with him, and you're averaging 20 points a game with him, I mean, at some point you maybe even say, "What? There's nothing to lose. This offense does not move with him. It just doesn't. It's not his fault. It's not like he's
with anybody given this offensive line and the problems they have. But certainly one that can't move. Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. I'm not arguing against it. I'm just saying I don't think Jeff Sims
could do some things with this offensive line because he'd run around. My point being, if you can't block it up well and you don't have great receivers, legs on a quarterback is a weapon. And that's the only guy right now on the roster that you feel like can make some hay with his legs. I'm just careful to point out
that there isn't a cure-all.
No, like
changing
of course not.
The quarterback, it does not suddenly save this offense. They're not going to suddenly start moving the ball up and down the field. Well, and then, we're not a quarterback away.
And then you look at it like, though, it's not going to save the – nothing can save the season. Like, you're looking at 2-4 or 3 wins. But maybe your best chance of being decent to good next year is for Chuba to get some experience this year.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. And I will tell you this. I think if they lose on Saturday to Syracuse, I think you'll see Chuba from that point forward.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I would be willing to bet that's exactly what they'll do. And not only Chuba, you'll see a ton of young players. Mm. Almost nothing but from that point forward. I mean, then you'd see a lot more of Knowles, a lot more of Brown, a lot more. I mean, a lot of the young guys would be out there at that. Why not? Yeah. Anybody that's upperclassman that's not going to be here for when this thing turns around. Now, I know you can't go wholesale and screw people over who are working hard and they've been committed and they've played hard. I mean, you're not going to, you know, for example, you're not going to bench Jermaine Johnson. I mean, that would be a weird decision. We'd ask
Norvell about that afterwards.
But I'm saying there are places on the field where you would then choose to just go young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but they don't really have that much of a choice anyway. They're just pretty young everywhere. Yeah. Like all their second and third stringers are young guys. So, yeah, man. But try to win the games you can win. And this is a game you can win. That said, if Milton struggles, if the offense struggles, I shouldn't say that because that makes it sound like it's Milton's fault. And it's not. He just.
He's not helping matters. He's not real good.
No, he's not. But it's not like he's the reason the offense is struggling.
Well, if you can't block, you can't block.
That's the point is if you can't block it up for consistently, maybe having a guy that can make his own plays or avoid pressure and not spin into a sack.
You know, the other problem he has too, Corey, and this is where I do feel for him because he's given everything he's got. And I'm obviously rooting for the kid, and we know the story is an amazing story. But the physical maladies that he suffers from, he can't feel his foot. I mean, that's not a medical diagnosis, but you can tell with all that they've tried to do to massage it, all the things they do. Well, when you fall down inexplicably, again,
he's got dead foot. Is that the medical term?
I don't know what it is, but I also know it affects his arm
because
he can't step into things and use the ground. And it's just at some point that it all adds up to an ineffective player. Now,
correct.
And we'll see. I mean, he goes through stretches where he looks real good too. And I think those are the moments where the foot's not bothering him and he can step into throws and make plays. But I think there's a question here we're going to get to.
All right, so Khalil is double dipping. He's back.
Thanks, Khalil's the man.
I'm going to shorten Khalil the question a little bit.
All right, yeah.
He's talking about 3 wins and rank them. I'm going to say, other than the Syracuse game, what would be the most one satisfying win outside of the Syracuse
this
game?
This year?
Yes.
Oh, Miami. This year. If you beat Miami.
Yeah.
Not over Florida or Clemson.
Those don't seem realistic. Out of the realistic opportunities, I feel like Miami is the one to go.
You could beat Miami, yeah. Because they may have shut it down and quit.
And what if Derek King just says, I'm not doing this again? Like, I'm not coming back. I think
he's probably getting pretty close to that.
And so if you're playing a Derek King-less Miami, I mean, that's a pick-em.
Who's not real
that's
motivated.
That's a pick-em, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have a chance. Yes, you have a chance.
It's not out of the realm. Even though you lost to him by 100 points last year, it's not out of the realm.
I just wish we could get healthy up front and have a modicum of a chance to block, let's say, Clemson, who can't move the ball to save their life right now. I know that.
But they can block everybody else but Clemson and Florida, probably.
Yeah, I don't think they're blocking them.
That's what I'm saying. That's not happening. But all these other teams, they can block well enough to at least give yourself a chance to win a game.
Maybe.
I mean, you're in all these games. You're moving the ball up. You're moving the ball against all these teams.
Not consistently, but you do. You have pockets.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you average what you average. If they come on 280-yard plays or
no, but I'm saying those are two big chunk plays and a whole lot of nothing in between.
Sure,
That's a toughie. You can't sustain drives that way, really. I mean, you're going to have to find a way. They got to win first down. They don't win first down an awful lot. And then that doesn't allow them to run tempo. So if they can win first down and run tempo and they do the inside zone stuff, they got a chance to stay on the field. But by the way, they answered the question, Khalil. Thank you for the contribution. And the question is Miami. I think off of that, I would say if there's a way that you go on the road to beat North Carolina, that would be pretty satisfying.
That'd be good. Yeah, but it
seems unlikely.
But that's not even close to Miami, right, as far as satisfaction.
No, not even close. Yeah. Not even close.
It'd be a home game. You haven't beaten them at home since Dalvin.
It's just absurd.
Yeah, since Dalvin was here in 15, kicking up all that grass or the sand when he was running by them.
Incredible. Yeah. Those were the days, buddy.
What would if Dalvin had decided to stay at Florida, like he committed to five different schools or whatever, but if he had decided to stay committed to Florida, what's Florida State's record in 15 and 16?
We quickly learned, didn't we, that that guy bailed us out of a lot of problems.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, that guy found a way to win some games by his damn self.
It is
unreal.
It's an all-time travesty, for real, and I don't use that word lightly, that my man never even made it to New York as a finalist. Not that he didn't win it, which he should have, but he didn't even make it to New York as a finalist. But behind those offensive lines to put up those numbers, because Cam Akers was a good running back too.
Yeah.
He won Dalvin Cook.
Well,
I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
Dalvin Cook, I said it at the time and people got angry, is the greatest running back Florida State's ever had, and it's not close.
Yeah.
And I love work done.
Yeah.
It's just not close. It's not close.
Oh, I mean, he would have run for 3,000 yards in 96 behind that line.
All right, Troy has checked in. Actually, there's two of them now. Troy has checked in. He says, fellas, it's Troy from Wyoming coming to the UMass game.
Oh, nicely done, Troy.
Can we guarantee it will be a win, even at this point?
The UMass game?
The
yes.
UMass game.
Yes, yes.
UMass. I thought you said U.S.
No. Yes.
USA. No. Yeah, UMass.
Yes.
All right. Guarantee.
Emphatically.
No, I'm not guaranteeing anything.
Yes, emphatically.
97% guarantee. I think that's the win probability.
I'm guaranteeing it.
The UMass win.
Emphatically.
I mean, Walt Bell's coming in here with something to prove.
You know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 10 points right here.
I mean, no.
Come on, take UMass to the 10.
You give me 35 points, baby.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not worried about the game.
I'm not worried. I'm just saying I can't guarantee it. Yeah, I can't guarantee it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you 17.
Mm.
No? Okay.
All right, so the second contribution's from Kevin, who's asking Corey a question. Corey, how tough has it been being a Falcon fan as well as somebody who is involved with FSU? I am both right now, and it's similar. Atlanta has talent, can't protect a quarterback. And FSU can't get a quarterback on the other side of things. So how tough has it been for you?
It's not as tough as like being a Jags fan, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's close because it wasn't that long ago we were one of the best teams in the league. And then that kind of dropped off the cliff.
Missed an opportunity.
Had an opportunity.
There was an opportunity.
Maybe get a
I don't
ring.
Know if everybody
had
remembers
an opportunity.
It.
I don't. I can't remember what you're talking about.
There was an opportunity that it wasn't cashed in upon.
I feel like the Falcons had a lead. I don't remember what the score was, but it seemed substantial. But
if I remember correctly, it was
the Patriots
one-sided.
Came back. But it's tough, man. I got the Braves at least. That helps. But I don't understand how the Falcons, how can you be consistently bad at defense for 30 years? Like, literally, they've never had – I don't know that they've ever had – maybe even when Deion was there, it wasn't a good defense.
Wasn't a
like,
dominant
they never
defense
had a good defense.
No. Well, I was just about to say, we haven't had an offensive line since 2013.
14. Come on, the second half of 14
okay.
when they put Roderick Johnson. Since then, that's true, too. It's like it's weird.
It's perpetuity,
like,
man.
It's like the Raiders. It doesn't matter who their coach is or where, what city they're even in.
Moving
they're
going
to lead the league in penalties.
Typically, that's true.
Yeah. So is it just Florida State's lot in life is it's going to struggle in the offensive line?
No, that's why they've got verbals from six new guys, and they're throwing more numbers at the problem. Man, there's no way.
They need to throw something else at the problem.
You and I are in total agreement here, and Ira's not here to try to refute us. So we're just going to stay here right now.
Bad.
Corey and I are in favor of cheating. I'm not on that record.
I'm
on the record.
The way the rules are set up now, it's not even cheating.
The NCAA is toothless.
Exactly.
Go get you some kids.
But just pay $39,000 a semester to the best offensive tackle in the country.
Now he may not come because he's getting that same offer from Alabama.
Okay, then put a zero on whatever Alabama's offering if you can afford it. Add an extra zero.
I don't think we're gonna do that, but yeah.
But you can also have him just star in a commercial, car commercial.
So I think yes, you can. Now
so you can do it. You can do it. The money can be above board now. It can be above the table.
I will tell you that I thought that. So behind closed doors, right, if we're putting together a plan to get this thing back together.
You and I.
Or Florida State coaches, or whoever. Right, but for now, it'll be you and I, right?
Okay.
And so, and we actually have the ability to kind of implement whatever this plan is.
Okay. Okay.
You and I are having an emergency meeting. We're sitting down. Nobody else is allowed to be at this meeting. And I'm going to say to you.
And we're like real decision makers. Like
real
this,
decision
okay.
makers. I'm going to say to you, Corey, it's time for Code Falcon.
Okay.
And then you're going to go, I've been thinking that too, Jeff. And then I'm going to say, all right. So starting this next year, we pay every son of a bitch that can run, jump, hit, you name it. If they're any good at all, they're coming here guaranteed. We're throwing tons of money at the problem. Now, listen, here's the deal. Once you throw all that money out there and you get some guarantees, now you got to back off the throttle. You can't keep this thing going forever.
Yeah, you don't want to be a big fluorescent light.
No,
like Ole Miss. Like Ole Miss struggled there.
Yeah,
Ole Miss struggled with that. They couldn't turn it off.
No, you got to go 1-2 years crazy cheating and then back off.
And – you know,
influx of talent, infusion of talent.
Here's how you sell it to the people that actually have the money. Is you say, look, okay, you want to fire Norvell because he went 2-10. Fair. He went 2-10. Okay, well, this is what you're going to owe in his buyout money. You're going to owe him $11 million.
Yeah, we can't afford that.
Instead of paying $11 million to somebody that's not going to coach your team, let's route that. Let's funnel that money to the
Jerry
Hunter family.
Smith, yeah, who runs a 4-3.
You and the Jerrys.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Jerry's ready to go. Jerry is waffling. He wants to know what kind of offer Florida State's really providing.
A good one, Jerry. Yeah. But so, again, it's all above board now. It's all above board. So don't think that we're not praising cheating. We're not saying.
We are crazy cheating. That's fair. We are straight getting after some cheating.
All right. Well, look, something's got to happen,
man.
I'd rather pay the players than pay the coaches to go away. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't want to pay a buyout again.
No, I want to pay good players to come here.
Yeah,
immediately.
Yeah,
lots of them.
Well, you could go the transfer portal too.
Guys, you name it.
Go see who leads the Sun Belt in receiving.
Go find the 5 best offensive linemen in the transfer portal. Guarantee they don't go anywhere else but right here in Tallahassee.
Do you you know how the ACC has the Jacobs blocking trophy for the best lineman? Do you think every conference has that? Probably they have some sort of it.
Yes.
You just go and get whoever wins that
in the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
And the Mid-Atlantic.
Sun Belt. Yeah. You're not going to the Big Ten, but you go to those other ones and
you don't want to draw too much attention.
Right. Nobody cares if the best blocker at Louisiana Tech leaves.
Yep.
They might if it's Ohio State.
He's coming here to Florida State University.
Players in all that was, I don't even think that was facetious. I mean, I think we really do agree with that.
I think our opponents are doing that. I think there are people out there that we are, listen, it's like the steroid era in baseball. I mean, look, man, if 80% of the league is on the juice, you better get with the getting.
I'm still kind of mad at Chipper for not doing it.
I mean, how much did you really care? We're trying to win some games around here.
But, they do need players. Players. Right now, they're not close to being a championship team. I think I'm safe in saying that.
Yeah, yep.
They're close to being mediocre. They could be a 5-7, 6-6 team if the talent level. Because they've lost 3 games in the final quarter. They're not anywhere close to being what they need to be.
You brought a Rambo in at wide receiver, and then you brought in the equivalent on the offensive line, that kind of a transfer.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you brought in quarterback transfer as well. Maybe 2 linebackers as well. I mean, we got to get some players in here.
Yeah.
I mean, there'll be somebody who'll get on their high horse and tell you that it's just wrong and you shouldn't do it, but I'm not listening to them. I'm not worried about their opinion either.
It's 2021, man.
Yeah, what are we doing? Let's go. All right, good.
All right, a question for each of you. Kyle wants to know, Jeff, if you will guarantee him an annual subscription to War Chant if FSU loses to UMass.
Oh,
will
you pay for his subscription? Should.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
I'll pay for it, yeah.
I don't want you to collect.
I will pay for your subscription.
I was about to say you better collect. I don't want that. If they lose to UMass, you're going to have to be buying a lot of subscriptions to WordChamp.
No, I'll pay his. No problem.
Yeah. And Corey, what's the deal with the helmet stickers? That's from Tom.
Don't know. We'll find out. Apparently, they're not on. When I'm at the games, I'm like watching through the binoculars.
You're trying to see the action.
I haven't looked at the helmets, but that is something that you need to explain.
Jermaine would have stickers.
He'd have a lot of them.
Fitzpatrick
would have a couple for the 53-yarder.
Yeah.
Game.
Okay. Yeah. He'd have one.
I don't know. We'll ask. We'll get to the bottom of it. We'll see what the helmets look like. tomorrow, and then we'll get to the bottom of it later this. Well, the next
there
time
has
we talk
to be a logical explanation. It doesn't make. I mean, that is a great tradition.
I don't know. Maybe
you gotta have the stickers. Yeah,
maybe
what are we
it's
doing?
Like we're not giving you anything until you win a game, which I can understand.
I can understand that we're not doing out stickers until we beat somebody
because it's an individual award for a team that hasn't won anything. But that's right. You know,
I'm sure it's something to do with that.
You would hope
it's a unifying thing, I suppose.
I got the wheel of topics if you want that, but right now we're out of questions.
I want the wheel of topics.
The wheel of topics.
I want a beer.
I can only generate so much with an 0-4 team, guys. All right. It's just tough.
Especially with me sitting
next spinning.
I'm broken a little bit. You're broken a lot.
You could have to talk about the Braves.
I don't want to talk about the Braves.
No. All right. Where were you when the Berlin Wall came down?
What in the world? I was there. Did I ever tell you that story? No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I got ahead of chisel. I was chiseling some of the wall out.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Yeah, but that was before. That was a year before. I was like in middle school, I think.
I would have been 12 or something like that. I think that was.
No, man, you were in college. It was like 1990, wasn't it?
No.
It was close to 90.
So I was in high school. Yeah, I was in high school.
Senior year. I mean, you're real close.
I was in high school, Corey. What are we doing? What are we doing? So
that's like the office where the Ricky Gervais is like, well, we're both in our 30s. He's like, well, you're 39. Yeah. Hey, we're still in our 30s. We're young guys. I was on my couch watching, I guess, on CNN. Wolf Blitzer, I assume he was part of that coverage.
Wolf was a young man. His hair was brown. I don't know where I can't. That's crazy. I don't know.
Very random question. That's a tough
question.
One to answer.
It's a great question.
Favorite FSU win of all time.
1993 over Nebraska to win the national championship. I was there with my father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. That was coming. Yeah, I was there with my father back when he was alive.
Saw OJ and his Bruno Mollies walk by on the sideline right there.
Notice those are nice shoes.
Nice shoes. Yeah, unique.
Yeah.
I also I just remember because I'd been going like you, I'd been going to games with my father for a long, long time. And I remember him thinking at one time, we're never going to win one because we were supposed to kill Nebraska.
Yes.
And here nobody.
Little did we know how good that Nebraska team was.
Right.
It ended up being really good.
Well, and also we coached stupid.
Correct.
So sure. There we are. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We're going to lose this one too. And my dad was just, I could tell he was at his, he wouldn't even watch the kick. When the kid lined up the kick, he wouldn't watch it. And I was like, I'll let you know. And I'm watching
the crowd.
Well, and it comes off his foot. It's dead left. Yeah. I mean, it's not even close. But I was like, I just grabbed him, picked him up, and hugged him.
Oh, he wouldn't watch the Nebraska kick.
He wouldn't watch the Nebraska kick. Yeah, he watched Bentley's kick, but he wasn't watching the Nebraska kick. And by the way, you know what? Just as an aside, years later, a guy who's now a dear, dear friend got his PhD from Florida State, but he had his undergrad from Nebraska. He was roommates with the kicker from Nebraska who missed the kick.
That's tough. I mean, he barely kept it in the stadium. He missed it so bad.
What my friend told me was that he was terrible all year. And so when he trotted out there to kick it, all the Nebraska people were like, there's no chance. And then they all knew it. We didn't, of course.
Right.
But all Nebraska fans were like, there's no chance he makes this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were right. Mine would be Michigan, 91 Michigan with my dad, just because of the surrounding, the setting. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah, that's cool.
And, another non-national championship was the punt Ruski with my. Well, I was there with my dad. Funny story about that. I don't think I've ever said this before.
He's running right to you.
So he did, yeah. But we're walking out of the stadium. Florida State had just beaten Clemson on the punt Ruski.
Yes.
And there's this college kid, this college Florida State kid that's all fired up and high-fiving everyone. There's a 70-year-old woman walking next to us that I think was a Florida State fan, but not with him. And he grabs her by the back of the head and plants this big kiss on her. Which obviously you don't want to do today. It was actually frowned upon back then.
Yeah, it was actually.
But I mean, it was intense. It was aggressive, uncomfortably for a 12-year-old to see.
Yeah, you're like, what is going on
but
here?
It's those are the things that get them burned
what
in your brain.
What did she do?
She smacked them away.
Okay.
She smacked them away and had this. I think it probably ruined the punt Ruski for her.
She's dead now.
Probably, yeah, she was older.
But man, she took that with her to the grave.
Yeah,
that's
never going to leave you.
That's
a
tough one.
But yes, it was. That was probably, and we didn't get to see the replay because it was 88. Man, you have a phone with a replay on it.
Yeah,
and
I was in high school. I was in high school.
They did the video board. Weirdly, if they even had one, didn't show a replay of it.
No.
So we had no idea what happened until the next morning. Like when we saw it on SportsCenter,
like
how the fake actually happened.
Yeah, yeah.
After the elation settled in the 93 championship game, was anybody furious at Bobby Bowden for the clock management at the end
of
the game?
Yes, I was.
Of course.
I was.
Every time something like that happened, he got furious.
Listen, I don't want to go down this road.
You know how big a fan I am of Bobby Bowden and what he did to the program, but his game management at the end of halves sometimes, including the wide right, the first wide right was not. Kicked that with like on second down with 30-something seconds left with a walk-on.
So many.
But, hey, he built it. He did a lot of really good things here.
I'm
clearly,
saying,
he
man,
built it up.
Just, we don't need to
some
do
of
this.
The game management at the end of halves
it was
left, left a little bit
most
to be desired.
Most of the time.
But the punt Ruski was a great call.
It's a great call.
Yeah.
It's a great call. I'm not saying the man didn't do amazing things. Yeah. I was at 97 Florida, Bill, and
was
I'm
a rough
still
one.
Pissed about that. I was sitting in the stands surrounded by Gettys with the guy from Nebraska.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's who I was with.
Yeah.
That's who I was with. Yeah.
Kobe was there. That was me and Shanna, my ex-wife. That was our first date. Was the Florida 97 Florida game?
Well, you were destined to fail. I got to tell you,
it's good to face adversity early, though, in a relationship.
That's
and
true.
That was a very that
you
was
know,
a lot
I
of
walked
adversity.
Out of that game very calmly. I was furious, and we walk out of that game. We're going to our car. This is the most controlled of my anger I've ever had to be. I think this Florida fan walked up like right up to my face and was screaming at us like.
Yeah,
and I didn't punch him, and I really wanted to, and I almost did. But
did
I
you? Did you? Did your fist get clenched up?
Yeah, it was about to happen.
Were you waiting for like one more sentence?
I got close, and then I just.
Who are you with? Just
Kobe.
Not your dad, though.
No, it was with Kobe. Just and we. He looked at me, and he was like, because he probably thought I was going to hit the guy, and then we just kept walking.
Right. They weren't very gracious after that
winners.
Win.
Not gracious,
especially
winners,
after so. That win.
That was a tough one.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Ward to Dunn. Jeff contributes to the program. Tom also contributes to the program without
Thank
a question
much.
Or comment.
Thank
you already
so much.
Answered one of his.
Boom. Yep.
And then,
I was in the stadium for Ward to Dunn as well, and I was in a Gator section because my stepfather is a UF law grad. And
what were you wearing your Charlie Ward jersey?
I had my Florida State. I was geared. So he tells me as we're going into the stadium, do not embarrass me. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, listen, we're going to be sitting around bull Gators. And he's like, you're going to have all your Knoll stuff on. Go easy. Know where you are. I'm like, I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to challenge people. But when Ward done happened, I did the pelvic thrust.
Oh, even before it was a thing almost.
Oh, man, I was pelvic thrusting. And the guy behind me turned around. He's like, come on, man. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. You created it.
Oh yeah, it was a good solid pelvic thrusting, and my stepdad was just head down,
just
shaking
right into that guy's neck.
Oh, it was basically dry humping that guy's neck. It was incredible.
Not sure how to follow a good solid pelvic thrusting, but the next topic is tell us about your newspaper growing up,
the St. Petersburg Times.
Yeah, both of you guys. Mm-hmm. Your favorite writers? What was it? Did you love the paper? Was that something
did
that you did only on the weekends, every day?
I read the paper every day. I would read box scores from baseball.
Yeah, that's what I did the most, was the box scores in the back.
I also learned, I know he's a Gator, so it's probably sacrosanct, but I learned of Emmitt Smith's prowess because of those box scores. I used to look at high school games.
39 carries for 244, like every week.
Pensacola, Escambia, I had never heard of that school because I played in St. Pete, obviously. And I remember reading, I would be reading every Saturday. I'd look to see.
Were you scrolling down on your newspaper?
No, you're right. Yeah. But I'd go through the box scores and I'd look and see. And then I was like, man, that kid, Emmitt Smith, it ran for 340 yards. I was every week, and that's how I learned. No, but the St. Pete Times was an incredible paper.
Yeah, much better than the AJC was good, but not not on par with the St. Pete Times.
Was legendarily good for a very long time, and so I love that paper, and I miss it because the Tampa Times is not nearly as good as the St. Pete Times was.
The one I really grew up with, weirdly, is the Osceola. That's the one that I got every Thursday. That's how I got all my Florida State news.
Yep.
Because at the AJC would have a story, but that was it in a box score.
Right.
But the Osceola had the whole Bowden press conference transcribed. So that was what I looked for growing up. That's what I looked forward to every week growing up.
I missed the hell out of newspapers and journalism and reporting.
Yeah, those were the days.
Country could use them.
Those were the days.
Your guys' laughter level last night when Miami missed the kick on the Stoink. 1 to 5, if you had to rate it 1 to 5, if you were watching.
Oh, I took my satisfaction level is a 5. You know, I cracked up, but not like.
So how did they play the end of that game? Were they setting up for the field goal the whole time? Could they have gone in and tried to score a touchdown?
Their fans are not happy today with the way that they handled that situation.
I mean, he's a good kicker. He's been a good kicker for them, but it's still a kicker. It's still a kick.
They were relying on a kick. And
so they had a chance like to go score a touchdown, and they throttled down a little bit.
Throttled down and then settled on the kick, and kid just missed it. It was a beautiful thing. I laugh every time.
I mean, he missed it like he was intentionally trying. I mean,
he yanked the shit out of him. Yeah, he did. There's no doubt. Yeah. So there's that.
And I didn't see it. I was at the Braves game celebrating my son. Another division title.
Setting you up for the heartbreak.
You know they lead Major League Baseball in division titles at all time.
Oh, you guys will win a division title. Nobody's worried about that, buddy.
It's the one
you
World
guys will
Series.
Rack up some division titles.
One out of 21. It's still cool. It's
you guys
cool,
are the king of the division title.
It's a cool accomplishment.
It's a pretty good segue. Your favorite non-FSU win, personally, of all time. Favorite game, could be any sport.
Any game?
Any sport. Your favorite win that
The 92 Sid Bream NLCS win over the Pirates.
That's probably one of the most devastating
It has to be because you knew the team was breaking up. That was your last chance.
I did know. And I also, I bothered by it now. That was tough. That was it was mainly because I knew Van Slyke was gone. Bonds was gone. Bonilla was gone. I mean, I loved that team. I loved every player on that team. Yeah, that was tough. My favorite non-Florida State win, Bucks over the Eagles in the playoffs at the vet to shut it down. Tell them to suck it.
I would also say the 95 national championship game between Nebraska and Florida.
Yeah, the 100 points.
Yeah, 62 to whatever it was, 62 to 20.
That's a good one.
It came back to bite Florida State a year later. But
it did. I really know. To me, it's the Bucks over the Eagles, cold weather in the vet. Mm-hmm. Jerevicius with the big play at the beginning. After all, he had just lost his kid. That was awesome. And and then to go and win the Super Bowl. The Bucks were a laughing stock most of my life. So that was a glorious thing. You know, that's the first time we won the Super Bowl.
You've had a couple.
Yeah.
You've had a couple.
And there may be a third this year. So you just got to pick. Pick those moments.
All right. Yeah. I'm still racking up those division titles in baseball.
You will win a division title, baby.
So Gator Kirk pointed out, time's a flat circle. Apparently Norvell was asked last year because of Renegade Express, why no helmet stickers? And they're awarded after a win. So the answer has been given. So Gator Kirk remembers.
Okay, good. Now we know. That makes sense. Well, man, hopefully we'll see some this year, everyone. Hopefully we'll see your tomahawk sticker or two.
And the last topic,
Saturday.
The wheel has been killed. Here's the last topic. Your favorite novel and why? What's your favorite novel?
Ooh.
That's tough.
Jeff's had time. I asked him that on the air.
No, I would. He guessed correctly that it was probably Blood Meridian, Cormac McCarthy. I love that book. It's crazy, violent, and nuts. I love that book. That's probably
Ball Four. Does that count? It's nonfiction.
I got Ball Four sitting on my.
It's nonfiction. I don't know if that counts as a novel, but I love that book.
It's a great book.
And then Feinstein's stuff in the 80s and early 90s.
The problem is that once I met Feinstein,
it hurts it a lot.
It really hurts it a lot.
But I grew up. His books are incredible. The year that he spent inside ACC basketball.
Oh, yeah. And then also the
season inside with Indiana.
But Season on the Brink.
Yeah.
I read that book too. Yeah.
But this one is just called, I think, A Season Inside. And it's just about Pat Kennedy was the coach. It was the year that Tim Duncan was a senior awake. A great book, man.
No, he can write. There's no getting around that. Yeah. He can write. A Good Walk Spoiled is another really good book, by the way. I love golf, so that's good. I would also, and I said this before somebody asked me this, I have a thing about the kind of conflict both physically and mentally that one goes through in war. So I tend to gravitate towards characters that have to go through like a traumatic experience that way. So like Dalton Trumbo's Johnny Got His Gun is a book that I really was moved by when I read it at the time. And that one usually pops into my head because of the kind of the way it was written. Anyhow, I don't want to get into that too much, but yeah, that was a great book too, but it's very depressing. You'd be like, Jesus, Jeff.
I don't know.
It's a bit dark.
Two more questions. One from Daniel. Daniel asked, Corey, weren't you the one who said before the season that we needed a petting zoo with pandas? I can't help but think that was foreshadowing for the bamboo.
For the bamboo offense. I don't remember. I talk a lot about this team. I say a lot of stuff I don't remember. Yeah. It sounds like something I would say, though.
It does sound like something you'd say. And by the way, who doesn't love a good petting zoo?
Well,
in general.
Oh, I think it was if I was building the football-only facility.
You'd have a petting zoo?
Because everybody has the other stuff.
You know what you need?
But if you had a petting zoo to send it over the top, but not a petting zoo for, like, goats and dogs.
No, I want goats.
Sure, goats can be in there, but you goats want exotic great. Animals that they can't get in the other school.
So a panda, that's panda,
a koala, a kangaroo.
A koala, I'd love to hug a
now,
koala.
Apparently they're all mean. They're like a panda.
I don't think koalas are mean.
I thought koalas were mean and pandas were okay. Pandas were.
I'm not getting close to a panda. They can snap you in half. But I'll hug the hell out of a koala.
Like an orangutan or something?
Oh, no. They'll kill you instantly.
Well, again, you
you're
train
not
going to
have our
nice.
Kids out here petting things that can kill you in 2 seconds. Well, man, I'm look, not doing that.
They put boxing gloves on the orangutan.
Hey,
so
we should have a cobra that we can pet. Let's all get in there and get the cobra.
Look, man, you got to sell this. You got to sell the school. You got to sell
hey,
the program.
Look at that. Go pet the porcupine.
There's a Gila monster.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm not doing that. Yeah.
There's a Komodo dragon.
Sure, yeah. Grab him. See if he likes it. But, give him a hug.
Do you think there's any chance that this offense does something this season?
27 like, points tomorrow.
But could somehow find itself to get to 30.
I thought they found themselves. Well, I don't know about 30
to,
now. Corey,
to 30
Corey,
over the course Corey. Of a few games.
I mean, go easy. Yeah, they could. UMass.
I mean, no. I mean, just like find something. Instead of averaging 18 points
it's
a game,
they
start
not
averaging 28
to
points.
Find something. They've got some serious circumstances that are – I mean, I'm trying to be
– Yeah.
I mean, look. You think some of the kids, I won't name the kids, you think some of the kids that week in, week out struggle to execute are going to suddenly start doing that? You know,
well,
you know,
I mean,
people,
but,
have
but
you seen some evidence that,
that
I
you do
seen,
see
like,
players at other programs improve and get better? Like some of these guys, their story's not written. Not all these guys'
stories.
Not
all the
written.
Guys, but base level, this offensive line is but sorry. And now it's riddled with injury.
So, yeah, I don't think when it's healthy, it's not but sorry.
Well,
it's
just pretty
average.
Bad. It's not good.
It's average when it's not when
I
it's,
don't even know if it's
when
average.
It's healthy.
It's
not
marginal.
But sorry.
It's
18 was
sorry.
But sorry.
It's pretty sorry.
But even still, if you play the situations better, you're getting 400
well, you're not
yards
gonna,
per
but
game.
You can't play red zone situations better when you can't move people off the ball. You can't. The field gets condensed. You have to be able to push people off the ball, and they can't. So what are you going to trick them? I mean, like, we have to do a bunch of dumb things because that's why you see the desperation in the play calling when we get in the red zone. It's weird shit, right? It's because they can't line up and move somebody. That's not going to change. Who are you throwing it up to in the end zone there, big dog?
Well, that's
going to go make that play.
You got to figure that out.
Yeah,
so
also, by the way, our tight ends are garbage, and so you can use them in the red zone too.
They're underachieving.
They're
we
not
don't
good.
Use that kind of terminology.
They're
underachieving.
Kids.
They're underachieving right now. But I would say
sure,
this. So you
nice.
went to football practice your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
If you were the wide receivers coach, or if you coached this football team, would you not throw 50 jump balls a day, every day, to your receivers to see if somebody could, like, figure out how to do it? Like, to see who the guy is that can actually make those plays? Because they don't get the reps on doing that. Number one, it'd be good for your DBs, too. But instead of, like, the 10-minute drill where you're teaching them where to put their hands on the block.
Some of the plays you're talking about are slow developing plays that require.
No, I'm talking about you're at the nine and you throw a fade.
Oh, I never would throw a fade at the nine. I hate that call.
Okay.
I hate running a fade.
I hate it more at the two.
Well, I hate them, period.
Yeah.
I don't, and we don't
but
have
you just
a receiver.
Ask who you're throwing it up to. I'm saying it. A lot of one on one wins are, you know, back shoulders.
I'll tell you who I'm throwing it up
someone.
To if he's healthy. Travis Jay, who I'm moving to wide receiver.
That might be something they think about, right?
I mean,
like,
I'm serious.
He's too good an athlete, and he is a superb athlete when he's healthy.
I'm serious.
To just have his career kind of toil on the defense side of the ball where he hasn't. He's still nine games into his career, but still, he hasn't really shown a propensity to be a huge playmaker there. You don't have
really,
a ton of athletes like that. Maybe
really unique circumstances for him that I've heard about. I'm rooting for the kid. I'm just rooting for the kid. I mean, there's tough circumstances. So we'll see. I hope he ends up having a good career because he is a talented individual.
Yes, he is.
And maybe you want to move him to offense at this point.
He'll be the second best Travis on the team next year, though.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially if the money makes it to Suwanee, Georgia.
Yeah. We got to make sure it happens.
Oh, you weren't predicting that Jordan Travis was going to have a big leap?
No.
You know, from
no,
one year
no,
to
no,
the
no,
next?
No, this other kid.
From the boards, Island Chief wants to know how far are the Braves going to go. I suppose you both could answer that.
I mean, I think they've hit they're hitting their head on the ceiling here. It helped that the Brewers lost their really good reliever.
Yes, it does.
He punched a wall in celebration. In celebration? Because then they win the.
I don't think it was in celebration.
I've never heard of that.
No,
but
he was angry about something.
They've already wrapped the division up. So what's he angry about?
I don't know. Gave something up and
All right. Well, good for him. I'm happy he did that.
Moronic. I mean,
but what does give you a little bit of hope is like the Dodgers are probably going to be the wild card. So and they could be bounced in one game.
It's a beautiful thing. And then you have to hope that that happens.
And you know, and the Giants are awesome.
Pretty wide open.
The Giants are awesome.
Yeah, but they just lost Brandon Belt.
Yeah.
And that's a real problem since you're talking about left-handed power that is immediately gone with a broken thumb. Dude, you need to hope the Dodgers get bounced.
Because you're not absolutely. Beating them. They're not beating the Dodgers, but I think they could beat everybody else because they got two really good starting pitchers and the lineup's going to hit a couple home runs a game.
Who are you playing?
The Brewers.
Who plays the Cardinals?
The Dodgers.
Good. I hope the Dodgers beat the dogs. Not out of
no,
the Cardinals.
You don't.
I can't stand can't the Cardinals. The Dodgers? I can't do it. Can't do it.
Can't I know. You have a weird thing with the Cardinals.
Oh, they good
yeah.
Playing 500 the whole year and went right and off
17 game winning streak. That's just what they do.
Always.
That's what. So yeah, the Giants are have a two. Their magic number is 2 to win the division. So if they win 2 games this weekend. The Dodgers and the Cardinals to the wild card game. What about that as a wild card game?
It's a crazy game.
105 win.
You know, you're
going to
make me root. You're right. You're going to make me root for the Cardinals. You're right.
Yeah. They'll probably end up winning the World Series after having like a 2% chance of making the playoffs.
Can't do it.
You can take that as maybe an impetus for ranking your top 3 most hated teams across all sports. And we'll take college rivalries out of it from the ACC. So Miami doesn't count. We're going to take Florida out of it.
Wake Forest doesn't count.
Oh, no. What a rival they are as well. Yeah.
But so it changes over the years, oddly. I used to hate your Braves in a way that was unhealthy.
Well, it goes back to your
it goes back to 92 the pain. It goes back to the early 90s. Yeah. By the way, that wasn't the only series we lost to you.
I know. I remember. I mean,
it's very difficult.
I remember.
So I would just say I used to hate you guys in a way that was unhealthy, and now I don't hate you
at
all.
It's weird. It's like hating
I don't hate you anymore.
Hating the Arizona Cardwons.
Well,
like,
you
they never won anything. Well, I mean, I know the Braves win, but they don't win. They don't win. Yeah, we crushed the divisions.
No, I'm telling you, for a long time, I really hated the Braves, and now I'm just completely indifferent about the Braves. In fact,
I would feel like you'd root for them because of me.
A little bit.
I mean,
a little bit.
I was rooting for the Bucks in the Super Bowl. That's not true. I don't think I was. Only because of your quarterback, man.
It's not our fault. You could have signed him.
No, it's not that. It's what he did to me personally.
Well, personally, right? Yeah. No. Oh, by the way, so when you live long enough. Other things become much more important, right? And so your true hatred of a team, it dissolves to some degree. Like, unless it's Miami or Florida as a rival college rivalry. Like, there aren't too many professional teams that I hate. I don't like the Eagles. That goes back to our Bucks. I'm not a fan of the Eagles. But I don't lose sleep over it. It's like, if they win, that's great. I mean, I'm okay. There's nobody really in the division that I hate. I mean, Carolina for a while I loathed, but I'm indifferent.
Nah.
I don't really.
The only team I always root against every season is the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense. The Braves don't have a rivalry with the Red Sox.
No,
but
you just got tired of them.
I got tired of being an Atlanta fan and hearing about this stupid curse. Yeah. Meanwhile, they had Larry Bird. They got Larry Bird in 5 chances. They got 20 NBA titles.
17.
And I have to hear about their stupid trading Babe Ruth for all my life.
Yeah.
And then now they win at baseball too. So I always just because they're so self important, Boston fans.
You
really
have me. You got me thinking here. Who do I? Oh, for a long time, for most of my life, I hated the Lakers.
Oh, that's yeah.
Hated the Lakers.
Okay, just hated Worthy. You don't like goggles. Because you had Worthy wearing the goggles, Kareem.
No, I hated Kurt Rambis.
Well, he wore goggles too, dude. He just might have wore regular glasses.
You know, he had the black glasses. Yeah. I hated Kurt Rambis. Didn't like that team. When I was a kid. But I don't know. I don't feel that way anymore. I'm indifferent about him.
We don't hate.
I just don't really.
Lovers, man. Hate anyone.
No, I do hate the Cardinals.
The St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay.
It'd be weird to hate the Arizona Cardinals.
What do you got to get? Flipping Kyle Murray. I'm tired of them going 7-9 every year. Sick of it.
Here's a chance to be optimistic. Reliable resellers and other businesses supporting our business.
Asks,
more likely over the next 3 games, 3-0 or 0-3?
Okay, so we have Syracuse, UMass, and North Carolina.
Is UMass after Carolina after the bye?
Yes.
Oh, so they got a bye before UMass.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Plenty of time to prepare.
Yeah. Walt Bell does not want to see that bye come.
More likely 0-3.
You just said you guaranteed they couldn't lose to UMass, so that doesn't make sense mathematically.
Well, they're not going
to
beat North Carolina.
They have a better chance of beating North Carolina than losing to UMass.
I mean, I'm wrong. You're correct. Yeah,
I agree. 3-0.
Yeah, more likely 3-0. Yeah, you're correct.
Khalil, are you guaranteeing that 3-0 happens? Will you buy somebody a War Chant subscription if they don't go 3-0?
I think they're going to go 2-1, and that's why I said it. But you're right. That's a lot closer to 3-0 than 0-3.
But Carolina's beatable, man. I'm genuinely interested in what this
Syracuse
defense.
Hey, let's just beat Syracuse tomorrow.
If they can come out and hammer Syracuse defensively, like if they can keep Syracuse, and I know that's not saying – that's not like stopping the 99 Rams or something, but if that defense can look anything like it did in the second half,
it'll be,
you start to feel like, okay, man.
But just don't do the thing that you do, which is, you know, you'll start to puff your chest out. You'll get the big head.
You'll start guaranteeing things. Sam Howell don't want any part of this.
And I'm going to be like, look, man, so we're the tallest midget. Don't do that, man.
Go, tallest little person.
Little person, sorry. Yeah. So you know what?
See, I'm not the only person who busts your chops about the little person.
I apologize to the little people.
So get down or lay down, and Tim both say to the effect of, they wish they were corner pocket with you guys rather than where they are.
When is that? The UMass game will be our next one, right?
Get down, lay down is 2,000 miles away. And Khalil Young is triple dipping.
Khalil's the truth.
And Khalil is saying, I think if you targeted Cam Moore, he's got good enough hands. Cam McDonald, that is.
He made a really nice catch wasn't a great throw. He made a nice catch in the last game.
What did he say?
Targeting Cam Moore he can actually catch the ball. Don't worry about blocking. He wishes they would do it.
Cannot
more.
Block. Yeah. I wish
maybe
he would
throw the ball to him more.
Yeah, he's not a huge difference maker, but sure.
I mean, maybe in the
red zone. Maybe in the red zone.
Yeah.
There you go.
Maybe
in the red zone. Yeah, you know what's tough to do? Whenever there's a proposal, we should throw to the tight ends more. Then you have to kind of analyze the segment group.
Mm.
And whenever somebody says, well, we should run the ball more. Well, then you analyze the offensive line because it starts there to be able to run the ball. When you say we should throw the ball.
They do run the ball.
No, I'm saying when somebody says we should run the ball.
Like a Falcons fan's like, why don't we run the ball more? Well, you got Cordell Patterson as your tailback and you can't block anyone.
So when we do it with the Noles, it gets incredibly depressing because they're like, well, we should do this at quarterback. And then you go, they don't have any good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, well, we should throw to the tight end more. Don't have any good tight ends. We should run the ball more. Our offensive line's terrible. Yeah, it gets old. It's old.
They're underutilized right now. They're underachieving. It doesn't mean they're not good. They just haven't found themselves yet. They're young. It's a young position group.
5-minute warning. So we'll ask this question. It's a broad one. The last couple of years, are you enjoying the football more on Saturdays or Sundays? Independent of your jobs.
Well, it's hard to take that out.
I think they know the answer to my question.
Yeah. And it really is. I was thinking about this driving down today from Atlanta. Like, this is – It's hard to do that. Like, it's not like we're digging ditches. This isn't real work.
No, we're not putting on roofs and stuff.
But to talk a lot, like, there's no 0-4 team in the history of college football that's gotten more attention than this one from one entity. Like, we put a lot of time into this team, talking about this team, writing about this team. Wouldn't it be cool to be 3-1?
So it'd be really cool. And this is why you instantly go back to 2013.
Dive headlong. It was a good time.
Somebody asked a question about this team, and then he goes, man, in 2013.
Funny you should ask about 2013. I knew they were different when Jameis hit Kenny Shaw on the Hail Mary there. Yeah, I knew there was something different about that kid, though.
Listen, I think it's easier to tackle these tough times if you're a realist. If you're pragmatic.
I'm tired of being pragmatic, man.
I mean,
if you lie
to yourself incessantly that miracles are forthcoming and you go in every week thinking you're going to see something that this team hasn't shown the proclivity to do, less on you as a fan.
Yeah.
So I think, like, I know they're
all
not.
All I want is 5 wins, man. That's not crazy.
I know they're not good. I don't go in to Doak on Saturdays thinking they're going to play really well.
But why would
I think that?
But that changes college. Like, college football, just the sport. Is a lot more fun for you as a fan or a journalist if the team you're involved in is good. It just makes you more involved.
We're not going to disagree about that, Corey, but they're not good.
Well, I'm answering the question. That's why I've liked Sundays more, even though the Falcons have been terrible.
I just said the Falcons suck. What do you like Sundays
for? But just because it's like I don't really have a rooting interest. It doesn't really bother me one way or the other. I just watch the good games.
I will say this. College football, for me, I appreciate college football more than I do pro football. Now, obviously, the Bucs have been a lot of fun to watch on Sundays.
Yeah, we get it,
and
man.
It's great. But I will tell you that I still prefer college football over pro football, even with the Noles in this sorry-ass state of affairs, because I like the totality of college football. I'm going to watch 6 other games. It's not just going to be the disappointment of Saturday's result with Florida State, although I think they're going to win this Saturday.
There you go. You're on record.
I'll flip around and watch a whole lot of other games. Like, I'm excited to watch Georgia-Arkansas. I'm excited to watch Ole Miss-Alabama. I mean, you know, you are too. Yeah, I mean, so sure. I love the sport. I'm going to watch a lot of these games. And I'm a degenerate gambler. So
how many games, how many games are you on this week?
Right now I've got 9 bets. But it'll probably be 15 before it's over.
Do you prop bets?
What?
Do they do prop bets?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can do prop bets, yeah.
Okay.
Team totals, player totals,
Cam McDonald totals, touchdown catches.
Alabama first quarter.
Okay.
That's a good one, guys.
All right.
Yeah.
Another donation from Jeff. He's double dipping. He's
joining the deal. Jeff's the man. I've been telling you
that. He's just sending love and appreciation, hoping that we're good and so we can do all of these shows when we're good again, because the atmospheres and all that stuff will be, like you're talking about, Corey, a pleasure. People
like, imagine, like, if
with pep in their step,
if this team was good and Syracuse came in 3-1, this place would be, I mean, we wouldn't be able to walk through here.
Corey, just I've covered Florida State for 23 years. I do know it's different when they're good.
Do you remember those days, man?
I do, buddy.
Let me explain them to you.
I remember. It's an amazing thing. Yeah. Yes, I do remember it. Yes.
Oh, man. That was fun. Did you appreciate it? I just don't feel like I appreciate it in the moment like I should have.
Well, nobody does. But I will say this.
Well, I'm going to appreciate when they get back. Hey, like, I'm every day.
Never again.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's why it's good for you to deal with this. It's tough. It's like being dirt-ass poor and then suddenly having money. Holy shit, I'm going to really appreciate this
and
money.
And then losing it all again.
And then someday finding a way to
find
it
again. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So I agree. But I remember being over at AJ's Sports Bar and Grill on Tennessee Street.
R.I.P.
Damn it. It still angers me. But yeah, I used to do shows over there when I first started in the business. And when Florida State was – I mean, I started in 1998.
Yeah.
So obviously pretty good
time. Were they good that year?
Yeah, pretty good. Okay. Yeah. So – I'm doing shows. We're doing remotes, the whole deal. And every time I walked outside, bumper to bumper on Tennessee Street for game weekends, Friday afternoons, like, you go outside just to get a breath of fresh air, like during a commercial break, and you can feel the energy of what you're talking about. Florida State, the anticipation of a big game, you know, two ranked teams, what's at stake, what's on the line, you know, the thought of a national championship run. Yeah, I remember it very well. I don't know if it'll ever be like that again, because there are a lot of things that have changed in college football and a lot of things have changed around the program.
Sure.
But those were amazing moments. Like 98 to 2002-ish, I remember every time we did a remote over there thinking, this is awesome. This, like, understanding that people didn't have that around the country.
Yeah.
I do remember that. And I wish that I could – in a lot of ways, nostalgia builds over things like that. I mean, maybe you're not capable. Maybe nobody's ever capable of truly appreciating something in the moment.
Well, I feel like if they get back, when they get back, I'm gonna appreciate it. I'm gonna appreciate it in the moment.
Are you gonna appreciate the 3-year ride?
Travis Hunter's gonna win two Heismans.
If they're on the Jeff Cameron, Corey Clark plan, it could be a 2-year plan.
It's an easy 2-year plan.
You know, you get to turn around.
There's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Take that buyout money and just start buying out those players.
I think somebody else donated again. Is that right? Do we have another donation?
No, that Jeff was the last one.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
Is that it, Tom? Is the happy hour over?
We have hit time.
Okay.
It's up to you guys. We could go into overtime for another 90 minutes, or we could stop now. It's your
call. We're not doing another 90 minutes for sure.
I mean, this has been empty for quite a while. I mean, it's been a 45-minute empty glass. Just saying. Nothing happy about that.
No, but we're not going to complain about the people at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill who've been nice enough to house us.
Love this place. I love this place.
It's been a good time. So to all of you, there's a camera. Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
You got a pregame show, right? You and T. Lizzie tomorrow at 9, right?
You're a professional broadcaster.
Yep.
Good job, buddy. Yeah, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., Tallahassee game day, myself, Tom Lang. And then after the game, post-game show, T. Lizzie and Gene breaking it down after the Noles' first win in Syracuse, 10 minutes after the game ends.
You know how Ira and I do the war chant rap afterwards.
We await it and love it.
Yeah, I'm chugging a beer.
Oh,
if they
buddy.
Win. I'm chugging multiple beers.
I may join you. I may drive over there and just sit down with you guys and chug some beers in the wrap.
Woo.
Just do that in the camera.
I'll put you on my shoulders. We'll dance around. Everybody, yeah.
I'm celebrating that dub tomorrow.
What kind of beer?
You know, I'll probably
go Mick Ultra, actually.
Maybe a little Natty Light. You know, maybe a little Natty Light. If I'm going to be spraying it on myself.
Tall boy.
Oh, man. Now we're R40. I don't care.
You guys
just hand me something.
Maybe you should shotgun. Just stick it with your
key. Yeah, but the problem is I don't have keys. I have the key fob. I don't think you can do that with a shotgun.
You'd just be denting the hell out of your – yeah, that'd be a toughie. All right. So we thank the fine folks at Corner Pocket. We thank all of you, and we thank Tom. And for Corey Clark, I'm Jeff Cameron. Thanks for watching, everybody. Go Noles. We'll be back with you tomorrow to celebrate – Win number one over Syracuse. There it is, right?
Yep.
All right.